Ruth chapter 1, look in verses 19 through 22. We'll finish out this chapter. Verse 19, so they two, this is talking about Naomi and Ruth, went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. Naomi means pleasant. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again, empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for these that are here tonight. We thank you for our children next door. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the workers next door as they lead these children in their Bible lessons and all they do over there. I pray, God, that you'll bless it greatly. Lord, bless in here as we open up your scripture and as we continue our journey through the book of Ruth. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I want to look at the two widows coming home. Last week, we saw the three widows. We saw Orpah go back the other direction. Well, tonight, we're going to look and we're going to see about Naomi and Ruth. We're going to see what happens here. Many have found ourselves, and I say ourselves, going backwards in life. Many have been at that point in our life where we just are backward. You can find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Demas. The Apostle Paul said, for Demas has forsaken me. He was going backwards. And you can see others. Of course, the one that we all look to is Jonah. Jonah was going backwards. The writer of that song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Robert Robinson, the part of the chorus says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And also in that song, it says, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. The story before us is we see a believer coming home. We see this believer, this Naomi, she is coming home. She has been away from God. Now we find her coming back to God. It's real sweet when somebody gets saved. But it's really sweet when somebody that's been out in that world comes home. And we as Christians, and I preached on this Sunday, and I'm not going to rehash it, but we as Christians, when we see somebody walk in the doors of our church that we know has been out in the world, instead of walking up to them and saying, well, you shouldn't have done that, we ought to walk up to them and hug their neck and say, welcome home. Because the place that we ought to be is church. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, coming home. Let's look and see Naomi coming home. The town to which she returned. So in verse, it says, we read, so they went until they were come to Bethlehem, there in verse 19. 10 years. 10 years has passed since they had left Bethlehem, Judea. Now we see her coming home. She's illustrating a believer that's gotten away from God. Boy, I know people in my life, and you know people in your life that have strayed. And you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed. And then one day you hear or you see for yourself that they've come home. And this is what we're seeing here. The town in which she returned, she's coming home. The town in which she returned. We see the place of God's praise. We know, and I've told you this, but it's very important as we go through the book to remember these things. Bethlehem was the land of Judea, which means praise. It was a place where God was glorified. It was a place where God was honored. It was a place where he was exalted. Naomi was returning to the place where God would be honored in her life. A believer away from God brings no glory to God. When one is away from God, instead of glory, it grieves God. We grieve God. Instead of living a life by which God is honored, he is dishonored. How sad is it to see people, and you know people, and I know people, used to teach Sunday school. I'm thinking of one right now in my mind, one of the best Sunday school teachers I ever heard in my life. Was a good friend. Things happened in his life, and he fell out of the church. It's sad. It's sad to see, and I don't know to this day if he's ever came back. It's sad when you know people that are so talented, that know how to play the piano. I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm not going to mention his name. Some of you may know him, but he was a preacher's son. And he got way, way out of God's will. He was up and down the bars on Ross Boulevard singing, playing, and honky-tonk bars. And at the time, we were pretty close, and I would call and call and call, nothing. I didn't give up. Finally, one day out of the blue, I get a phone call from an unknown number, and I just happened to answer it. He said, "Hey." And I said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Living on the streets, spending time on the dock of the old Kmart in Full Oglethorpe, Georgia. His wife, kids, he left everything he had." But that point was where he started to come back. He came back all the way. He was pastoring in South Carolina. God is a God that's not going to look at you when you come home and say, "I'm glad you're back," but no, God will say, "Welcome home." Amen. Yes. I mean, we often think about the prodigal son. What about the prodigal's father? Day in and day out, he walked, he looked, he was looking for his son that had left. And one day he was outside. He had to be outside because it said, and when he saw him, he ran and kissed him. He didn't care where he'd been. He could tell where he had been. He was covered up in pig slop. He smelled like the world. He looked like the world. And all that daddy did was hug him and kiss his neck. Hug him and kiss his neck. Welcomed him home. Said, "Put on the robe, put on the rings, and do all of those things. And let's have a barbecue. My son has come home." That's the God that we serve. We may get out. We may get away from God, but he doesn't shut that door. Y'all with me? When we get saved, I had to tell a mother last week, and I've shared this with you, situation with some friends of ours, and I told that mother last week, and she asked me point blank. She said, "Did my daughter truly accept the Lord and trust Christ as her Savior that night you were with her?" I said, "Yes." I said, there was a sense of the Lord's presence when I was talking to her. There was a sense there. And I believe when you truly, I'm going to veer off here for just a minute. I've had this conversation with other people before. They said, "Can you lose your salvation?" If you are truly, truly, and I use that word truly, saved, you cannot lose it. But there's a lot of people that made a profession, but they don't possess it. Huh? Y'all with me? There's the people that I know that say, "Oh yeah, I was saved 40 years ago. I hadn't been in church in 39 and a half years, but I was saved 40 years ago." Oh, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Listen to me. Once we truly get saved, we're sealed. Amen. The devil cannot take that away. Amen. Devil can take our joy. Devil can take things like that, but he cannot take our salvation. But we see Naomi here returning home. The place of God's praise We see the place of God's presence. We read how Naomi in verse 6 had visited, or how the Lord had visited his people, and she had heard that. She had heard, there's something going on. I need to go home. You know, it's kind of like when people leave a church, had this happen, get mad and leave for whatever reason. And then when they get mad and leave, well, God really begins to move. I wonder why that was. Y'all with me? I wonder why that was. And then they catch wind of what God is doing, and then you see them trickle back in. Y'all with me? It happens. Naomi had heard of what God was doing, and she wanted to go back. What about Jonah? His experience of running from the presence of the Lord in chapter 1 and verse 3. A believer out of fellowship. Listen, a believer out of fellowship with God cannot enjoy the presence of the Lord. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Because they're only dishonoring the Lord. When a believer comes back to God, they can once again enjoy and experience his presence. Here's the psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Many can testify to the joy of being back in his presence. It says the presence is in the fullness of his joy, or in his presence is the fullness of joy. You want to find joy? You want to have that joy? Get in his presence. Get in his presence. We see the place of God's praise, the place of God's presence, the place of God's provision. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Naomi had heard that God had visited the people in Bethlehem, giving them bread there in verse 6. Bethlehem was a place where God was meeting the needs of the people. It was a place where God was at work in people's lives. And when one's away from God, they live a life that's barren of the blessings of God. But just think, when we are in the center of God's will, that's the place we need to be. Just a couple days ago, Kathy and I have been praying about something, about 4 months. And she told me that this was happening, and I just looked and I said, God, you did it again. Yes. You know, the devil's a liar.
That's right.
And he'll put out lies on people. He'll put out lies, but the truth always comes to the top. And I can't praise him enough for that. We see the place of God's provision. There are times when Satan will tell us we failed God. There's been times in the pasture you look out and it hadn't happened here, but I've been under such attack, and I would just sit there and think, God, I failed you. Do you ever feel that way? God, I failed you. What did I do? What can I do better? What did I do wrong? What is it? And that happens. We see here the place of God's people. Bethlehem was the place where God's people dwelled. It was the place where God's people were gathered. It was a place of kindred spirits and like-minded souls. No doubt that's what the church is supposed to be. Like-minded. We're supposed to be on the same page. We're supposed to be that. Naomi is coming home. We see her coming back to Bethlehem, the place of God's praise, presence, provision, and people. Number two, the testimony with which she returned. Notice, it's very important, it says in our reading in verses 19 through 21, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, or Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? When Naomi returned, they were groaned when they saw her. They asked, is that Naomi coming? It's been 10 years. It's been 10 years. Is that Naomi coming in? Is that Naomi coming? They said, is this Naomi? She said, no, don't call me Naomi. That means pleasant. Call me Mara, means bitter. We see how God brought her back. In verse 21, we read, it says that she was, the Lord had brought me home again. She had been confronted by God. God dealt with her sin. Numbers 32, 23 says, your sins will find you out. Your sins will find you out. This wayward believer was coming home. This wayward believer was coming back. Listen to me. There's always, always a way back. We, you, me, when we get away from God, He doesn't leave. He's right there where we left Him. He's right there where we left Him. How God brought her back, He brought her home again. Verse 21. We see also that pages aren't turning good. How God broke her down. In verse 20 says, the Lord, the Almighty, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. It's a bad place to be when you're out of God's will. It's a bad place to be. I've been there. It's a bad place to be when you're not where you're supposed to be. It's bad. Hurts. Most of us have been there. And you look and you think, what have I done? What have I done? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I go there? And God broke her down. She testified of how God broke her down. God knows how to get our attention. God knows exactly what to do to get our attention. Psalm 23:3, David said, He restores my soul. If anybody got away from God, it was David. If anybody had moved away from what God had intended on him to be because he got lazy, he fell out of fellowship with God, committed all of these sins for over a year, he thought, I got away with it. He didn't get away with it. They always come back. They always come back. God broke her down. David said in 23:3, He restores my soul. David was stubborn and rebellious. David dealt with stubborn and rebellious sheep. A shepherd was known at times to take a sheep that kept wandering off, take the sheep and break its legs. And then that shepherd would pick that sheep up and carry it and nurse it back to health. Sometimes God has to break our legs. Yes. Sometimes God has to break us down, put us flat of our back so we can see, what have I done? Amen. What have I done? God broke her down. There may be some in here watching or some in here tonight that can say amen to God, to these words, the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. And then thirdly, we see the time in which she returned. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. It's interesting, Beverly, in our reading this week, we read about Lot in Genesis, and how Lot was a mess. Lot was trouble. And you know the story of Lot and his daughter getting together. And because of that came the Moabites. What did God call Moab? His washpot. See how things roll? You can go back and find what caused it. You know, when our kids were growing up, something happened. I could figure out what happened. It'd take me a little bit, but I could figure out, okay, one of them's not telling the truth. And there, you got them back there, Jason, you know, and you know, Samantha, you know. Okay, has Caleb put Seth up because he's the youngest? Normally that's what happened. Caleb would put Seth up to making up something. So I would just listen to their stories. And then old dad here can be pretty observant. They may think I'm not listening, but I am. And I'd catch them in something. I said, I got them right here. They're about to be busted. And I like walking in there, you know, and saying, hey, such and such. And the shock of their face, dad figured it out. You know what? It doesn't take God that long to figure it out. It doesn't take God that long to figure out what we're doing. When that happens, it doesn't take God long to figure it out. But I want you to notice something. I always, in the many times I've went through the book of Ruth, I've always found this very interesting. Notice verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Very interesting, beginning of barley harvest. This statement is so full, it's wonderful, because the Holy Spirit used it in the text here to remind us that they were coming home during harvest time. It was observed during the month of Abib, A-B-I-B, which means green ears. It was a time when certain feasts were observed. First of all, they were coming home during the application of the blood. I'm not going to read it, but Leviticus chapter 23 tells us that the beginning of barley harvest took place at Passover time. This was the time each year that the priest would take the blood of the sacrifice and carry it into the holy place to make atonement for sin. It was as if the Holy Spirit was saying, you're going to come home. I want you to come home, but you're going to come home during the time of harvest, showing us how God takes care of his children. They were nothing. They had nothing. They were in a drought. They had nothing, but they come home during the time of barley harvest. I read this years ago. There was a young gentleman on a train, and he was sitting on this train, and he was looking out the window of the train. An old preacher sat beside him, and the preacher introduced himself and said, son, you look troubled. He said, several years ago, I got in a fight, and I cursed my mother, and I hit my father. And my father said, you're no longer welcome here. He said, so I've been gone for 5 or 6 years. Since then, God has dealt with me, and I've wrote letters, and I've told them that I'm coming home, and that the train stops right by their house. And as we approach the stop, there's an old oak tree. He said, all I asked was for a white flag in the tree to let me know to get off the train. He said, preacher, I can't look. So they switched seats. The young guy was looking this way. The preacher was looking out the window. And as they get closer, he got to looking and he said, son, you don't have any problems. What do you mean? He said, well, I see a whole tree full of white flags. And I see a mom and a daddy out there waving a white flag saying, come home, son, come home. I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. They came home during the application of the blood, during the time of harvest. And this is going to be very important to the remainder of the story as we go through this week by week. We see also the anticipation of the blessings. It was also a time when the feast of the first fruits were observed. The fields had been sown and the first crops had come up and had been harvested. A sheaf of barley would be weighed before the Lord as an offering of thanksgiving, which was to come. It was an act whereby praise and thanks were given to God for the blessings to come. It was the Holy Spirit saying, not only can forgiveness be found, but God will begin by blessing your life again. And this is very important to the remainder of the entire book, because we're going to see how they begin to harvest. We're going to see how God provides. And it's just an amazing. But that's just what God does. You know, God, our Father, wants to bless us. Yes. He wants to. He wants to. We, as parents, we all want what's best for our children. God wants what's best for us. There were times when I always felt that sometimes my mother and father, mainly my mother, dealt pretty hard with me. But she knew what she was doing. She had it right. I didn't think so at the time. I've often said she had eyes in the back of her head. She could see me do things. Sitting in the living room, me in my bedroom. She knew how. And she used to say, if you're going to talk bad about me, do it in there so I don't hear you. I mean, she also had those bionic arms. She could drive the car, old Ford Torino, and she could smack me and never miss a beat while driving that big old Ford Torino. And how do you do that? Is that like a gift or something? But I don't regret. I don't want to go on Dr. Phil and talk about how I was raised, because I was raised by two of the finest Christian people that ever walked the face of the earth. We were disciplined. I was disciplined. And we tried to raise our kids in happy home. And when Morgan first started coming around, she had never been in a home quite like ours. In fact, she thought one time we just got through eating supper and they were downstairs in the other house we lived in Rossville, and me and her was carrying on, and she hit me with a bag of salad or something. She said, what's wrong with them two up there? They're going to kill each other. And Caleb said, no, they're in love. She said, in love? She said, you just wait. You want to be disgusted. Wait up there in a few minutes. He'll grab her and kiss her. And I don't care. I'll do it in the middle of anywhere. I like to do it in front of the kids. It really blesses them when I do that. It really blesses them when I do that. But God wants to bless your life. God wants to bless his church. You know, we got people wanting to join our church. Wanting to. Asking, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I said, honey, just come on in here and we'll fix you right up. There are people that love this church. And God is blessing this church. He wants to bless this church. He wants to bless you. And he brought Naomi back. And I can't stress enough, and I'm going to give too much away as we go through, but I mentioned this last week, and there wasn't just a few here. Read through Ruth, and there's two words that's going to be leaving the name of Ruth here eventually. She won't be recalled by those two names. You do a little research, you'll see it, and I'm going to test you when we get to that point. I'm going to give you a test, Beverly. It's real easy. I've got it underlined in my book. But I want you to read this, because to me, it's like a novel as we see all the different parts. Okay, Naomi's come home. She's going to kind of not be center stage anymore. Eventually, Ruth's going to take over, and then we're going to meet Boaz, and it's really going to get good. So I want you to read ahead and read the book of Ruth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Before we go to our time of prayer, I don't know how God's dealt with your heart. I want you to study the Word with me. I want you to study the Bible. I've already working on some sermons about revival. I'm already working on Road to Resurrection for the month of March. I started today reading through the book of Galatians. Eventually, we're going to go through that book. I want you to go through these books with me. That's what builds a church, the Word of God. Maybe here tonight, maybe there's something going on in your life, and you just need to stop right there for just a moment, pray and ask the Lord to help you. Give you just a moment, then we'll go into our taking requests and have prayer.